Today we begin lesson number 46 of Mishnayos Meseches Nedorim, in which we will complete the last Mishnah of Meseches Nedorim, and also it is lesson number 1 in our study to begin today of Mishnayos Meseches Nozir. So let's look at the last Mishnah now, Mishnah Yud Beis of Perek Yud Aleph of Meseches Nedorim. Borishona hayu omrim. In the original stage of the laws which have to do with marriage and divorce, the rule was shalosh noshim yotzos venotlos kesuba, that were three categories of women whom the husband would be forced to divorce, compelled to divorce, but would be responsible to pay them the full kesuva. As we will see, these are situations in which the woman was subject to forces or events or circumstances beyond her control, which made it impossible to continue the marriage. So we have the marriage dissolved. The husband must give her a divorce. But he can't say that, look, I shouldn't have to pay a ksuva. I'm being compelled to divorce her. No. Because since she's not at all at fault for these circumstances, he must give her the ksuva. Ho meres temeya aniloch. If a woman says that she's married to a kohen, and she says that she has been raped, ne'enasti, and even though it was against her will, she's married to a Kohen, she cannot continue to live with the Kohen. Had she been married to a Yisroel, the halacha is, Eishes Yisroel shenenso, is muteres labalo. If it was nenso, if it was indeed against her will. So in such a circumstance, the Kohen must give her a get, and he must pay the ksuva, because she can say, nistach posodeu. It's his problem that he's a Kohen, not my problem. And whatever I did, I didn't do. It was done against my will. So she is yotzeis v'noteles ksuva. Number two, shomayim beni levenoch. She says very discreetly that there's something in our relationship which is only for heaven to know about. It's not something we can talk about publicly. Meaning that perhaps she's found him impotent, or there's something else in the relationship that, as some of Farshim say, makes them so different from each other, like heaven and earth, in matters, in intimate matters. Or, number three, netulo ani min ha-yehudim. Here's where we get to the connection to Meseches Nedorim. She has said, I'm making a neder that I'm not going to be able to have any intimate relationships ever with any Jew. And the Jew, of course, includes her husband. We understand that she made this neder because, for her, intimate relations are difficult. Physically difficult. And therefore she's made this neder. And in these three situations, Chazal, the Chachomim, believe her. Believe her saying that she was raped. Believe her in saying that the problems are irreconcilable. Believe her in saying that she's made this neder. And therefore she is entitled to a divorce and entitled to the ksuva. However, at a later stage in history, the Chachamim found that they could not believe a woman even when she said one of these three statements. And therefore they said, Chozru Loma, they began to say, Shelo tehe isha nosenes eineho ba'acheru mekalkeles albalo. It could be that she's attracted to another man. She wants to get out of the first marriage. Her husband doesn't want her to divorce her. So she makes up these stories. And therefore we cannot believe her. And instead, what do we do? Eloho meres temeya aniloch. A woman who says that I have been raped, she says this to her husband, the Kohen. Tovi ro'oyo ledvorel. She has to bring some kind of proof. Shomayim beni levenoch. If she says that there's something between us in our intimate relations that I just can't discuss, it's Shomayim things, something that Shomayim knows about. Yasu derech bakosha. So the Chachomim should try in some way, through some therapy or counseling or pius ubakosha, some way of bringing them to some type of reconciliation. Or netula ani min hayehudim, if she has made a neder, I'm no longer having any intimate relations ever with any Jew, yofer chelko. So there's a piece of that neder which he is entitled to nullify. That's the piece which has to do with her intimate relations with him. That's dvorim shebeino leveino. So he can be mayfair that piece of the neder. Aye, the rest of the neder is she'll never be able to have relations with any Jew in the world. No. Tehem isham shoso. Let her have intimate relations with her husband. So she won't be able to ever remarry in case she gets divorced or widowed from this husband. That's her nether. Salik maseches nedorim. So be'ezras Hashem yisborach. We have completed our study, although it was a very fundamental, basic study. Obviously, it could be studied at a more advanced level, and yet Hashem, we can do that. But we finish Meseches Nedorim, and we proceed to the next Meseches, which is Meseches Nozir. Now, we know a little bit, just from studying Chumash and Parshas Noso, about the concept of a Nozir, a man or a woman. The Pasuk begins by saying, Ish o Isha ki yafli lindor neder Nozir. So either a man or a woman can take upon himself or herself a vow which is a very comprehensive vow, which prohibits them from drinking wine or from partaking of any grape product in any form, which prohibits him or her from coming into the contact with the dead, which prohibits him or her from cutting their hair. This is the concept of Nazirus. Now, a Nazirus, a person becomes a Nazir, or a woman becomes a Nazira, by making a vow. And to that extent, the laws which you have been learning in detail about Neder also apply to Nazirus. Indeed, we've studied explicitly in some of the most recent Mishnayos, we learned at the end of Meseches Nedorim, that a husband has the right to be Mayfair or Mekim, to either nullify or ratify his wife's vow to become a Nazira. Many, as we will see now, many of the laws of Nedorim also apply to Nazirus. So the Mishnah begins in the same way that the Mishnah began Meseches Nedorim. Kol kinuye Nazirus ka Nazirus. Even if a person does not say the ideal commitment language, which is Hareini Nazir, right? Or Hareini Nazir Lashem. That is Kabbalas Nazirus, clear Hebrew, I am about to become a Nazir. Incidentally, if the person does not give a time span, to say I'll become a Nazir for a year, I'll become a Nazir for 5 years, but just I'll become a Nazir. So we say Stam Nazirus Shloshim Yom, the person is a Nazir for 30 days. But suppose a person didn't say those clear words, Hareini Nazir, but said some kinui, some language which is not really fully Lashon HaKodesh of Nazir, which we will learn some examples of in the Mishnah. Or, if a person just issued what is called a Yad, he said a partial phrase which in and of itself does not mean I will be a Nazir, but the phrase can be interpreted as a acceptance of Nazirus because of the circumstances. So the Ikor HaNeder is Hareini Nazir. A incomplete statement which we understand to be a commitment to Nazirus because of the circumstances is known as Yad HaNeder. It's merely the handle of the vow. For example, HaOmer, if a person says, Ahe, I will be. And the Gemara explains, there's a Nazir walking in front of him. He's sitting on the proverbial park bench, and the Nazir is walking down the street with his long hair, etc. And the person on the park bench says, Ahey. And what he means by that, Ahey, I will be, meaning, I will be a Nazir like him. Harezen Nazir. That is a Yad. Or, if a person says, Oh, Ehey Nove, I will be beautiful. In and of itself, that is not a commitment to Nazirus. However, if the circumstances, the context is such that he is grasping onto his hair, he's holding onto his hair, and he says, Ahey Nove, I'm going to be beautiful. So then we understand that he means, I'm going to let my hair grow long, meaning I'm accepting upon myself a Nazirus. And if that indeed was his intention, he's a Nazir. Or if instead of using the word Nazir, he uses one of these kinuyim, one of these substitute words, nozik, nozich, or noziach, pozich, or poziach, harezen nozir. These are all words which either were designed by the Chachomim, or they are a different language than Lashon Kodesh, but they clearly mean nezirus and kol kinuyei nezirus k'nezirus. Hareze nozir. Suppose a person says, Hareini koze, I want to be like this fellow over there, who is a nozir. Or he says, Hareini misalseil, I'm going to curl my hair. Or he says, Hareini michalkeil, I'm going to decorate my hair, to arrange my hair. Or he says, Hare olai lishalach pera, I'm going to grow long hair. Shalach pera. The Pasuk in Yecheskel says, Pera lo yishalechu. Don't let your hair grow long. So if a person holds on to his hair and says, Hareini misalseil, or Hareini michalkeil, or Hare olai lishalach pera, shalach pera, Hare zen nozir. In all these cases, he is a Nazir because the circumstances, the context, along with his language, mean an acceptance of Nazirus. Suppose a person says, Hare olai tziporim. I'm bringing those kinds of fowl, F-O-W-L, those kinds of birds, which a Nazir must bring if he becomes Tomei. Nazir becomes Tomei, he has to bring two Torim, or two B'nei Yonah, two types of pigeons or doves. So the person doesn't say, I'm going to be a Nazir, and he doesn't say, I'm going to be a Fazich, and he doesn't say, as a Nazir is approaching him, I'm going to be like that guy. But rather he says, I'm a Kabbal upon myself, Tziporim. Rav Meir Omer Nazir. Rav Meir says, This is considered a hoichocha. What's this person out of the clear blue sky suddenly committing himself to Shnei Torim or Shnei B'nei Yonah? It must be that he is accepting upon himself a Nazirus, and that's his kavona, and he's a Nazir. The Chachomim omrim eino Nazir. The Chachomim say no. If a person says Hareo like Tziporim, he could be committing himself to a Nedova, to a gift of a sacrifice of Shtei Torim or Shnei B'nei Yonah to the Beis HaMikdash. Who says he's Mekabel upon himself Nazirus? And therefore they say that that's not a sufficient Yad to be equivalent to a commitment to Nazirus, and the Chachamim Omrim Eino Nazir. And so we have completed lesson 46 of Maseches Nedorim, and we have completed lesson 1 of Maseches Nazir.